cocaine is in the building.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. It's you. When you hear this music on a Tuesday for the whole season, you heard top five, bottom five. Well, we got to go a little differently now because we only had eight teams available over the weekend. So we're doing top four, bottom four. And we're not going to get silly next week, I guess, and do top two, bottom two.
No. this is pretty much the last one we do.
This is the last one that we do.
Yep. Tears.
Yeah,
let the tears flow.
So.
It's all right.
Yeah, but we are going to give out our best and the not-so-best of the weekend. So let's get started. Four through one. Number four on my list. I actually threw this for a loop, Ron.
Did you do it? Did you pull the trigger? Because I think I know where you're going with this.
All right. I put the Green Bay Packers.
I love it.
This is where I put the Green Bay Packers. Good for you. You went to Santa Clara, and you should have won this football game. You should have won this game. And the reason I'm putting you here is because, as I said Monday, I'm a host that has no problems admitting when I'm wrong. We're all just guessing here. I try to analyze this as best I can, and sports is awesome because it's not predictable. But sometimes it is predictable. And last week, I thought I was going to get an absolute showcase of outstanding from the San Francisco 49ers against a Packers team that just had one chamber left and just didn't have enough for this nine. I was dead wrong. They should have won this game. Careless decision by Jordan Love to throw across his body on that interception. I get it. It's panic time. But Carlson hits that field goal. It's a seven-point game. We'll go from there. Packers, It was a feel-good performance that was so disappointing that you almost forgot they were a seven seed and may not have been there in the first place. So the Packers, you are my number 14.
I'm going to say I'm mad at myself now because I kept going back and forth.
And
then ultimately I decided, well, winners deserve to be on top, losers on the bottom.
I got you. No, I don't blame you.
But this is where I put the Niners.
Niners. Okay, yeah. No, they did it. They
won.
They got the job done.
They did. I mean, it was sloppy. It was pathetic. I mean, I never in a million years would have thought the Niners would be barely making a top four, bottom four. You don't even have them in your top four. That's how bad and how putrid the game was for them. And I get weather plays a disadvantage sometimes. And the weather was not nice weather at all. But the other team was playing in the same weather, Tony.
That's right. And they had the right cleats on, apparently.
That was terrible. Good news for the Niners is, I guess, it was Debo that got hurt, right? Yeah, Debo.
Yeah.
Debo does not have a fracture in his shoulder, so still a game-time decision.
Oh, that's good. A little game-time decision. All right.
Yeah. But, I mean, the one thing that I did notice, and I don't know how much the weather did play a factor in this, but Brock Purdy looked very Mr. Irrelevant-esque in that game.
Yeah, he did. He did. He went 6 for 7 on the final drive, but yeah, there was a good period of time.
For a large part of that game, he looked like a quarterback that is selected late, that everyone passed on because they just, wasn't on anyone's radar.
You know what? I was reading an article about the game, and it was kind of an analysis. It was one of those articles where they break down film and they show you pictures of the film.
Yeah.
It was a hard read. Those are always, they're kind of difficult because you got to really pay attention. But the point that the guy was making on various looks offensively was one of the reasons Brock Purdy was successful late was that Kyle Shanahan kept making him throw the football. He didn't get, and that's, let me tell you something. When the game is on the line and your quarterback is not playing particularly well, to have that much trust, especially in a guy that was drafted last, picked last in the draft, that shows a lot on Kyle Shanahan because I might have pulled the plug. I might have panicked.
Yeah, definitely.
I might have panicked. All right, number three. This is where I put Kansas City. They should have been higher. I want to put them higher. But I like the other two teams the way they played over the weekend better. But Kansas City did something that, it's still amazing when you think about it that they haven't had to do with Patrick Mahomes and went on the road. And they went on the road and they won. They've got some problems. They're that legit. their problems with wide receivers, their issues at certain things is not a thing that's going away. They're overcoming it because they have the best quarterback in the game. They have a superstar mega quarterback that's going to be remembered forever and ever and ever for what he's done in his career. And his ability to just say, you know what, we're scoring. No matter what, we're scoring. We're finding a way to score. They almost coughed this one away. It's a tough environment to win in Buffalo, but they found a way to win in Buffalo. I wanted to put them higher, but I'm keeping them at 3.
No, that's where I put the Chiefs as well. It just made sense for them to be at 3 because, yeah, you know, that you went on the road and you finally won your first playoff game ever. Congrats, man.
Congrats.
That's amazing to say and amazing to think about. Yeah, Mahomes is going to be this type of player that I think we're going to get sick of. And I think there's a part of us that already has Chiefs fatigue. I think there's a large portion outside of Missouri, and merely just half the state of Missouri.
Oh, it's coming, yeah.
That are really wanting the Ravens to win just to kind of disrupt the juggernaut that is the Chiefs. I'd wanted the Bills to win just to get to make sure the Chiefs didn't get to the conference championship again.
Exactly.
You know, they're there every single year. It's like death, taxes, and Chiefs in the AFC conference championship. That's the guarantees in life right now.
Well, we got to give them props. That was a good win. But I'm with you. Number two on my list. All right. This is where I put Baltimore. No. And the reason I put Baltimore is because of this. Here's why. When Tiger Woods won the 2000 PGA Championship, he beat Bob May. Bob May was an amazing story. And he was trying to win a playoff with Tiger Woods. And eventually, you're just not going to. But that didn't make... We didn't go crazy praising Tiger Woods for holding back Bob May. We just went, there's Tiger doing what Tiger is supposed to do. That's the feeling I got with the Texans and the Ravens. I'll give Houston all the credit in the world for being there, but they didn't have a 60-minute football team against that team. The Ravens did what they were supposed to do when it was 10-10. You make an adjustment, and then you go, we're done. We're done with you. Thank you so much. Thank you for playing. We respect you. We love you. We think we're going to be meeting in the future. Today, though, we're putting this one away. I think for the Ravens, it was business. It was showing up and doing what you were supposed to do. Like Tiger beating Bob May at Valhalla, all the pressure was on Bob May to do something historic. And it was Tiger trying to just hold back a little bit, but in the end, his talent overcame the adversity. And I think that's what the Ravens did. They looked really efficient. They looked really sharp. But they were supposed to. They were supposed to. The Texans are a very good team. They are a very young team. But there's a reason why very young, very good teams that are with rookie quarterbacks and rookie head coaches don't go to Super Bowls. And they don't go to AFC title games. Because it's hard. It's really hard. So Houston, I love you. I'll give you all the props in the world. But for the Ravens, that second half, it was business of being the Ravens.
I can respect that. I mean, and I know where you went with number one, and we're probably going to piggyback on each other here because I just haven't flipped. I went Lions 2, Ravens 1 for me. And, you know, just a real quick note with the Ravens because Lions are a lot more fun to talk about. I put them at number one just because it was efficient. You know, and they just...
Oh, sure.
They, to me, now look like the team to beat in the NFL.
In the
entire
with you
thing. They just... John Harbaugh, I think, is marching to another trophy. I mean, he has to get over the Mahomes hurdle, and it's really just the Mahomes hurdle now. I don't really fear any of the other players on the team. And then we'll see who they meet up against in the end of in the Super Bowl. But I think they're destined for there. But as for the Lions,
and I put them number one, and you got them at number two.
I have them at number two.
I just think that... Was it
such
tremendous?
A great Cinderella story, Tony?
was it pressure for all the home teams? Of course it was. Of course it was.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the Lions and their fans were any different in terms of winning for the fans. I get it, but it was a different emotion there. It was a different emotion. They had to do it. They had to perform, and they had to do it. And the Buccaneers were no joke. The Buccaneers came to play.
And they gave me. I actually had a lot of respect for them.
Yeah, Baker
gained
Mayfield
a lot of respect for them,
and he played. They played tough. They really played tough. And I agree with Matt Lombardo. I think Goff is a really good quarterback, but I don't think he's on the upper echelon of elite.
I liked how he did that. I like how he said where he said he didn't even know if he was top 15.
Right, right.
But he fits.
He does fit
with the Lions system right now.
It's David Montgomery, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, you name it. Jahmyr Gibbs, you name it. They've got a lot of weapons that Ben Johnson dials up. I yes, it's a little sentimental pick for me because I like their story and like where they're going, and this team has been pretty much irrelevant my entire existence. On like when I was I was playing with the NFL fun coloring book when I was 7 years old, or activity book, or writing with my pencils, the Lions stunk. The Lions stunk all the time.
No,
they were
never
good.
And my first memory of them, and this was before Barry really became Barry, was that that was the team you picked to play against in video games.
Yeah, right.
That you'd pick to play against the Lions because it was going to be easy.
I don't even remember them being in the 92 conference title game against Washington. That's how oblivious I am to their history of sometimes being okay. Bottom four coming up next as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, that is our bottom five music, but we're going bottom four because of the eight teams that remained last weekend in the AFC and NFC divisional round. So we're going five all the way to number eight. So five, I didn't get crazy. This is where I put San Francisco. I liked Green Bay's game better, but I'm not going nuts here, okay? The Niners didn't play a typical Niners game, but they still won. Christian McCaffrey, who still is amazing. George Kittle's fantastic. Brock Purdy did come around. They finally got the equipment right on the cleats. They did get the job done. So I'm not going berserk, but I got Green Bay. San Francisco at number five.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. This is where I had the Packers.
Packers, yeah.
Yeah, because I did that thing. It's like, oh, winners in the top, losers in the bottom. And, but I liked yours so much better. It was so much more fun. Because I agree. I think the Packers outplayed, and I really did sit there for a second going, oh, my God, are we really doing this? Are we really going down this road? I thought for sure that was going to happen.
The Niners were 0-30 when trailing by 10-plus or more, 8-plus or more in the fourth quarter. 0-30. And this was, to me, What was surprising to me, and I know that Matt Lombardo at the top of the hour said, the Green Bay Packers, San Francisco kind of overlooked Green Bay. How could you overlook Green Bay? They beat the Dallas Cowboys to shreds. Like, what did you think they were? What did you think was coming to Santa Clara? But that's exactly how they looked.
Yeah, they did.
He's exactly right. They did look like they were overlooking them. And I'm thinking, they just showed you what they're capable of doing that no team was able to do. Team was able to beat Dallas and Dallas, and Green Bay spanked them around. You should have known that this kind of thing was coming.
But the Niners spanked the Cowboys, I know, albeit in San Francisco.
In San Francisco.
But do you think the Niners were sitting there like, well, yeah, of course you did. The Niners, the Cowboys stink.
No, I hope not.
Maybe
the Cowboys
that's
were good.
They thought.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I think it was the rain. Brock Purdy struggled in the rain this season at various.
No, I think.
I think it was 100% in the rain was
the rain
terrible
as well.
Yeah, I think that really affected him. And I think Green Bay was ready for the weather and ready for the challenge. And that's why they were able to lead most of the game. But I'm not going crazy with San Francisco.
Yeah.
They were fine.
No, I had
six.
The Packers as five. Number six.
I put Tampa Bay here. I was really impressed with Tampa.
Okay.
I put them here. I thought Baker Mayfield did a very, very good job. I was surprised how defensively they looked. I was, they got Vita Vea and he was a beast, but they defensively, I thought they were better than I thought they were. I said going into this game, and I said it all last week, it is really hard for me to look at the Buccaneers in that game against the Eagles and not talk more about the Eagles than what the Buccaneers did well. And the Buccaneers did some things well, but as Pat Donovan told us last week, they should have won that. They should have put 50 on the board. They dropped passes, but Mayfield was up for the challenge of an emotional environment in Ford Field, and they really did have that crowd quiet a lot of the time, especially when they were coming back in the game, and they got the touchdown to make it a one-score game. I didn't like the Bulls non. I mean, I guess I'm fine with Bulls not calling a timeout. I'm not as losing my mind like other people are.
Nah,
but
I don't think.
You know,
I don't really think. At the end of the day, I don't think it makes that much of a difference.
No, it's very. There's a very high gamble. You give your team a chance, but you know, you try to give your team every chance, even if it's 1%. But they didn't care.
You know what it is? It's the equivalent of being, you know, an NBA team or a college basketball team being down 5 with 2 seconds left.
Yeah.
Yeah, technically, there's a chance you can get 5 points. Likelihood, probably not.
Well, you know, they were down one score. And
I know,
you could throw a Hail Mary.
Right.
Then you got to get the 2-point conversion.
Exactly.
So.
Number six?
Number six.
Number six, this is where I put the Bills.
Okay.
I did like how the Bills played. I just didn't like how they finished. I thought they were playing well through most of the game, controlling the tempo on both sides of the ball. I just didn't like the way they finished the game.
Yeah, I'm with you.
The finish is what is lacking, and it just, you know, and it's just the same narrative for them over and over again. And I'm 100% with you. You said this a bunch of times yesterday. I was thinking the same thing. Even if they had made that field goal, there was still way too much time for Mahomes to not do something.
Rex Ryan had a really good point about that, because he said on one of these talking head shows, he said what Sean McDermott should have really emphasized on the third down throw was, guys, it's four down territory. Not meaning that we would go for it on fourth down, meaning we don't need to pick up the first down. We could get it to fourth and one, fourth
right.
and two, and make and then evaluate a decision. So don't try to get it all on third down. If you give me a fourth and one, I might dial something up to get us another first down. So we can take two plays.
Which they had done a couple of times.
Right. So we can take two plays and try to get a first down. Don't chuck it in the end zone on third down and now we have to kick.
Yeah.
We can get a shot.
For me, it was that second down play.
Yeah.
Especially when you see that, you know, when you see the replay, and I know replays are hindsight's 2020's, you know, equivalent. When you see Diggs just 5 yards off the line of scrimmage, wide open, just running across the middle of the field. I didn't understand the play call of, like, let's go for the home run right now.
That's what I did, yeah.
And second down. It was second and 10. It's like, you know, you guys, you have two things you need to do. One, you need to milk the clock. And you know you need to milk the clock down past 13 seconds because you've already been burned by that before. And you need to score.
And I love using golf analogies, but you're 100% right. It's like if you're playing in a golf tournament, if you're Phil Mickelson and you realize the fade isn't working today, you have to play without it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to say, you know what, today's not the day to try to get the fade back. The defense for the Bills was terrible. The Kansas City Chiefs went up and down the field. You have to admit, on this particular day, our defense isn't capable of slowing them down. So we've got to milk the clock, because I can't theoretically look at my defense and go, now do something you haven't really done all game. Mahomes said it. You know, they brought more pressure in the second half and they did punt. But for the most of the game, the San Francisco, I mean, I'm sorry, Kansas City went up and down the field. And so you need to go, we got to score and we got to make sure they don't have enough time to score, because we haven't been able to stop them. So I'm with you on that one. All right, 7, Houston.
Ooh.
I'm going to Houston Texans. Did they get blown out in the second half? Yes. Was it a 10-10 game and didn't score an offensive touchdown? Yes. But you know what? Round of applause. Well done. Well done getting there. Well done making it a 10-10 game. Because remember, even though they didn't score an offensive touchdown, and even though their only touchdown in the first half, or the whole game, was a punt return, they did hold the Ravens to 10 points in the first half.
They did.
That the blitzing that they did, which was like 70% of their game plan, did work until adjustments came in.
Yep.
So they were doing some really positive things in the first half, other than offensively moving the football and being able to score. In the end, they're out. But I don't have a gripe with them like I do with my number 8 team. So I had to put them at 7 because I'm not as mad at them as
right.
I am my number 8 team.
I feel it. Number 7 for me, this is where I had the Buccaneers.
Buccaneers.
And, you know, for me, the Buccaneers and Bills, they were interchangeable. I felt the Buccaneers did have – I'm like you. The Buccaneers had a great game plan. I'm hoping that they realize they have a quarterback.
I do too.
You know, I really, really do hope. I think Baker, I don't think he rejuvenated his career. I just think he got kind of got ran out of Cleveland. He was never a good fit. He was a, you know, he was a, the way he went to Carolina was just weird. And then, you know, I think with the Rams, it was just, we need someone to grab anybody.
Yeah, that was a mercenary hire. Like, yeah. Come in, we need somebody. We're beat up. We're not even going to the playoffs.
Yep.
We're good.
Just come finish out the season. But I'm glad that he's with this Buccaneers team, and I think it's a good fit for the pair of them. And I'm gonna skip forward because, you know, for me, the last team I had was the Texans. They were my number 18. And it simply is just because, like, you know, yeah, you, I can't be mad at the way you played. Because, no. But I also want to give you more time for your love affair with your A team.
My A team is the Buffalo Bills. You had what you were supposed to have, the home game. I know it's Patrick Mahomes, but this is the time to get him. This was the year to get them. This Kansas City Chiefs team, I don't remember ever being amazingly impressed with Kansas City. Now, part of that is because they set a table that was very, very effective from a number of years where they looked amazing. They were unstoppable. They had, you know, when they had Tyreek Hill, and even last year when they didn't have Tyreek Hill and they still won the Super Bowl. This was your year. This was your year, and you played pretty much behind the whole game. Even though you didn't trail at various points, Kansas City was right there with you. And you knew this was going to be a race to the finish line, and the other guy does that better than your guy. And that was the problem. When the Bills got the ball back on the fumble through the end zone, which, by the way, if Mecole Hardman holds on to that ball, we're not even talking. We're talking about a complete slaughter. But nevertheless, the Bills had plenty of time to do something with that and didn't. Tyler Bass missing a field goal. Those things happen. It stinks. Josh Allen, I thought, played great. But this was your game for the defense to play and be solid as best they can, as beat up as they were, to make a statement at home in front of that crowd, and instead another disappointing loss to the Chiefs. This was your year to get Kansas City. All right. Some coaching news we got to get to coming up in the Bill Belichick Atlanta Falcons thing.